It's boasting about tomorrow. We might make plans, but God still determines our path. And we see that here as well. Boasting about tomorrow, beginning at verse 13 of chapter 4. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know that what will happen to tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them. The reading of the word of the Lord. I'll have some other verses as well this morning that I'll tie into my message. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, as we gather in your name this morning, may you fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray too that as I bring this message to your people, you fill me with that same Spirit. Lord, may these words be yours, never mine. I pray for those that have gathered here today in your house, those who are listening online, you fill them with the same Spirit. Give them a spirit of understanding, of growth, Lord. May you teach us a new way today. In Jesus I pray, amen. How many of you have ever had a telemarketer call you? Anybody ever have that happen? Nobody has had a telemarketer call you, Harley. Well, that, I'm amazed. We must be the only one. Well, let me tell you a little bit of a story about a telemarketer this morning. So there's this telemarketer, and she called this home, and this is how it went. Listen closely. A small voice whispered on the end of the line when she called this home, and the small voice said, "Hello?" And she said, "Who is this?" And on the other end of the line, still a very small, silent voice said, "This is Jimmy." I said, "Oh, Jimmy, how old are you?" 4. So she said, "Is your mom there?" "Yes, but she's busy." "Is your dad there?" "Yes, but he's busy too." "Well, is anybody else there that I could speak to?" "There are some policemen here." "Oh, can I speak to one of them?" "No, they're busy too." And she asked, "Well, why are all these busy? Is there anyone there that I can talk to?" And he said, "No, because they're all busy." "And why is that?" "Because they're all looking for me." So let me talk to you about this. How many of you played hide and seek before? Right? We've all done that as children. Maybe you do that with your kids yet today. Sometimes trying to find God's will for your life can be hide and seek, can it? Right? We don't understand it. We don't know where to look. Sometimes we think that God hides it from us. But I want you to know this morning, after you hear this message, that is not at all the way that God expects us to go in your life. You might feel that way. In fact, I think I touched on it last week, that sometimes we might know what God's will is, but we prefer not to do it because we get in those uncharted waters that we don't understand or maybe don't quite feel comfortable in, so we resist, don't we? But God lays his will out there for us, and he makes it very obvious for us to do. And at the end of this message, you'll understand that this morning. I think he's made it pretty easy for us to discover in our lives. And so there are two simple steps I'm going to talk to you about this morning. Knowing God's will for your life requires these two things, and you'll get it and you'll understand it. The first step is that you and I need to obey the part of God's will that he's already revealed to you and I. It's already there. And so we're going to go through this morning, and it'll make sense to you here in just a minute. All right? But there is a prerequisite that I need you to know, to get, to understand for this all to be possible in your life when we talk about this morning. You need to be willing to do God's will before you know it. How many of you are comfortable with that? Nobody, right? Because most of us, human instinct says, "God, you show me your will, and then I'll decide if I want to do it or not." That's how we like to operate. But that is not at all what the Bible teaches, nor is that what God wants us to do in our lives. And this is not to be a scary thing. Once you understand this, I think you'll have a great amount of peace about it this morning. And so let's talk about those things that he's revealed to you and I today. I'm going to share 4 things with you that he wants us to have, that is God's will for you and I. And here's the first one. It is God's will that you and I be saved. He wants us to find salvation in our lives. He wants us to be in heaven with him someday. That's his will for you and I in our lives. And I have a Bible verse that goes with each one of these. This one is 1 Timothy 2, 3, and 4. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Right? That Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior and that he died for our sins. And we are sinners. We get that. We understand that. But God has done everything needed for you and I to reach salvation. But you have to choose it. And so here's my question for you this morning in this area. If you've given your life to Christ, you are living in God's will. Amen? That's what he wants and that's what he expects out of you. Now, if you have not given your life to Christ and you're sitting on the fence, you might not be in God's will yet. So I pray that you are, that you find it in your life, that you give your life to Christ. That's the first one that I want to share with you this morning. So remember, if you give your life to Christ, you are obeying God's will. The second thing that he wants you and I to do and to live is that he wants us to live a spirit-controlled life, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. When you and I reach salvation, we are promised by God the Father that he will fill us with the Holy Spirit that will guide and direct our lives. Right? We talk about that. We preach about that. But sometimes I don't think we fully understand what the Spirit is capable of in our lives. And so I'm going to put a little plug in here. The next series that's coming in probably 2 to 3 weeks is going to be a series on the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. You're going to learn a lot more about the Spirit and what that does in our lives. But here's what I want to talk to you about this morning. You and I have the capability to squelch the Spirit in our lives as believers. Now that Spirit works in you. It draws you to Christ. It's never our own work. It's the work of God that brings us to a point of salvation. We can live with the Spirit in our lives, but you and I can squelch that Spirit if we so decide. But let me tell you this. It is God's will that you and I live according to the Spirit of God in our lives, and we let him reign in our lives. See, a lot of us don't let him reign. We still want to do our own work and our own thing in our lives, and we're going to learn more about that in the future. But God wants you and I to live Spirit-controlled lives. The third thing that he wants you and I to do is he wants us to be sanctified in our lives. Now, that's a big church word, isn't it? And a lot of times, there's a lot of theology, and a lot of preachers will talk and throw that word around, but you and I need to have understanding of what does it mean to be sanctified, all right? And if you look in the blue box, there's your definition this morning. Being conformed more and more to the image of Christ, right? Every day that you and I live our lives, we strive to be more like Christ in our lives, right? A sense of holiness. And if we live in God's will and we want to be sanctified, we become more like Christ. We become more, you become more of who you are, that God gets to use you in a way that he built you to use. Now, let me put this in layman's terms that you and I can understand what this is about. A lot of you can relate to the farming community. And on your farm, if you think about, if maybe you have you farm yourself or you got a grandpa or an uncle that farm whatever, but you have different types of tractors on your farm, right? You might have a tractor that you hook on the field cultivator and does your tillage work in the spring. You might have a tractor that specifically goes on your corn planter. You might have a tractor that has a loader on it and you use that for that type of work. And what I'm trying to tell you this morning is that when we become sanctified in Christ's way, that he calls us to do his will, you are specifically made for something certain in this world as a Christian. Just like that piece of farm equipment. Your planting tractor is specifically for pulling that planter in the spring. When you are in God's will and you become sanctified, you are used by God in the general purpose, more or less, of what God has created you to be and to do in this world. His will. Your purpose is fulfilled. Does that make sense to you? Let's talk about sports just a little bit. Let me give you a little bit more of an understanding. What is a baseball bat used for? To hit what? Exactly. It's designed specifically to play the game of baseball and to hit the baseball. You see, you and I are designed specifically to worship God. And then he puts within us his will, which we are designed specifically to do something in his creation. The more and more you become like Christ, the more and more you become sanctified, the more and more you live in his will, in his life. That's what it looks like this morning. And we all go through this process. And by the way, this is something that is ongoing. You work at it your entire life, right? You mature in your faith. You grow in your faith. Your knowledge and understanding of God becomes deeper and deeper over time. You're more filled with the Spirit of God and those types of things that I'm talking about here this morning. Let me talk to you about the fourth one. This is probably the hardest one. It can be more challenging. And you're going to think, oh, what? This is crazy. All right, now don't hear this. God's will is that you suffer. That's not what I'm saying, okay? So let me just reiterate that. Look at the verse that's on the bottom of the screen this morning. 1 Peter 3:17. For it is better if it is God's will to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. All right, now let's talk about that just briefly. Unlike the first three steps or aspects of God's will that we look at, that we know about, this one is conditional, all right? Some of us are going to suffer for doing God's will. And some of us might suffer at certain times in our life for doing God's will. And sometimes that suffering might come and go in your life. This one's it's not as clear. It's a little harder to understand sometimes. And in fact, when suffering comes in, you might not even realize what it's about or what's happening or what's going on in your life. But sometimes this does enter our lives. And I'm going to tell you, when you do good and you live for Jesus Christ, just know and be aware that you're going to have maybe times in your life you're going to suffer for the glory of God. And that's okay, because God will carry you through that. There's blessings around that as well as we live life for Christ. So let me just reiterate a few things this morning. So the first step in knowing God's will is to obey the part of God's will that I already know, right? Which he's revealed to me in his word. We just spoke about all those things, right? Being saved, being spirit controlled, being sanctified, and knowing that we might encounter suffering in our lives or following Jesus Christ. We get that. We understand that. And more or less, now we're to a point where I want to say this to you. Knowing that God's will requires only one more simple step for you this morning. Be the person that God created you to be. All right? Now that's way, you might not fully understand, but let me just reiterate. So how do I do that? I get what God's will is for my life. I understand those four things they just talked about. And now you're saying that just be who God created you to be. What does that mean in my life? What does that look like? And here's what I'm going to tell you this morning. I want you to do what you want to do. And you're going to think, what are you talking about? Just do what you want to do in your life. And some of you might say, is that unbiblical? What do you mean? You follow God's will for those four things, and then you just go out and do what you want to do? Well, let me just talk to you about that this morning so you get a little bit of better understanding of what I'm talking about here today. Now, you got to go a little deeper here with me this morning, all right? Put your thinking cap on. It'll come together. It seems so simple, doesn't it? And it is that simple. We just have to understand what we're getting at here. That's exactly what David is saying when we talk about Psalm 37, verse 4, when he says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. David is not saying that God is obligated to give us whatever we ask for. Here's where I want to give you understanding this morning. What he is saying is that if we delight in God, our Father in heaven, the desires that we have, the things that you want to do in life, are the ones that God puts in your heart. And that's his will for your life. It's that simple. So those things that you have a passion about, those things that you have a gift for, those things that you enjoy doing. And if you're desiring God above all else in your life, those are exactly what God wants for you in your life. That's the will of God. That's the second step. It's that easy, people. You don't have to play hide and seek. Your job is simply to desire God. And God will fill in all the rest. Pursue Him with all your heart. That's what He says. Delight in God. And so let me just throw out a few things to you this morning when you get in these situations of life, right? I want you to think about God's will for your life. It's where your passions and His passions cross in your life. I like to call that the sweet spot of life, all right? And a lot of us, we do find that over time, and we're at peace with that, with what God provides for us in our lives. But let me just take that a step further. So when I want to know where to go to school, right, high schoolers, or maybe what job to take on, or who to marry, or where to go on vacation, or even maybe what I should eat for dinner tonight, you can follow your heart's desires because God is the author of those desires. That's His will for your life. But remember, the whole key to this is that you desire God above all else. Now, if you're desiring other things, this is not going to work for you. If you're desiring other things in your life above God, then things are not going to come out the way that you expect they're going to come out, because they're not God's desires in your heart. All right? And we're not, by all means, we're not perfect. Only Jesus Christ is in that category. And so we're going to make a few mistakes along the way, but God will direct your path and He'll bring you back where He needs you to be. All right? If we continue to desire God in our lives. And let me also touch on this morning. God's will won't ever be in conflict with God's word. What that means is that His will never cause you to sin, ever. And if you feel that God's will is causing you to sin, that is not God's will. That is Satan talking to you. All right? Then flee that. Get rid of that in your life. God's will never cause you to sin. It'll always call you into a closer relationship with Him. And so here's what I'd like to say, especially to you young people this morning that are trying to figure out life. Don't follow the pattern of the world. Follow the pattern of God's will for your life. That's where you're going to find peace. That's where you're going to find blessings. That's where you're going to find joy and fulfillment of what God intended for you to do in this life. May I encourage you with that this morning. You know, last week we talked about, it's about planting corn, and the guy thought, well, maybe I should go preach Christ. And so it's not plant corn or go preach Christ, it's desiring God. That's the message I want to leave you with today. All right? And all of God's people said,